Now, the Tories are now telling young people that they either join a jobs boot camp or lose their benefits. This is what Matthew Hancock, the Cabinet Office Minister, has said as part of the government's goal of ending a welfare culture in some communities. Dubbed a boot camp by officials, young people would undertake 71 hours of training, including help with job applications, interview techniques, an extensive search for vacancies to help them move off benefits and into work. Earn or learn is the Implementation Task Force name. Bumper Graham from the Union NIPSA is champing at the bit this morning. The commentator, Erwin Armstrong, will no doubt take him on. Good morning, Bumper. Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Bumper. Good morning, Erwin.
Well, boot camp for young people, Bumper. Here we go.
Well, I mean, nothing really surprises you. I mean, as each week passes, the Tories identify those that don't support them, and this is an attack now on young people and a vilification of our young people that have been, by and large, let down by the education system. It would be much better if the government invested in our young people by providing proper vocational training and modern-day apprenticeships and then guaranteeing those young people jobs at the end of the day.
Guaranteeing jobs?
Yes, guaranteeing jobs. I mean, if you're going to invest in training and apprenticeships, then you've got to get something out of it. And the way of getting something out of that is to give them jobs that are guaranteed. I mean, I've seen over the years many initiatives whereby people have been put into youth training schemes, knocking down walls, building walls.
What's wrong with being tough, though? What's wrong with being tough? In fact, is it even tough on a young person to say, look, if you haven't got a job, yeah, you're going to go in, do a boot camp? What's wrong with that?
Well, it's how you do it, Stephen, and nobody would dispute that our young people need help from our workers in the Department of Employment Learning and in the jobs markets. But at the same time, the government's attacking those staff by cutting job centres, cutting the number of workers in job centres, so that they're not actually there to give the help and assistance that our young people need.
Erwin?
Well, you'd be shocked. I actually agree with Bumper in something. I know this is very unusual, but the point he makes, our education system is, in fact, failing many of our young people. You know, when you look at young people today, a lot of them cannot communicate. They cannot express themselves in writing. They cannot express themselves verbally. They cannot, therefore, do well in interviews. And if we can actually introduce into this, and I object to the term boot camp. I mean, I don't know why they thought of boot camp. Boot camp is all about physical exercise and getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is a very gentle system of bringing people in and saying, look, here's how you fill in an application.
Well, I'll tell you why they come up. I'll tell you right now why they come up with the term boot camp, because it feeds into this Tory message, doesn't it, that they want to send out to people, that they're being tough on those. Boot camp has all the type of connotations of being tough.
You're right.
Tough on young people who aren't working. Tough on the unemployed. It's insulting the poor, this, isn't it? That's what it's doing. It's feeding an idea that people who are unemployed, it's somehow their fault that they have no jobs, rather than it being government's fault that it hasn't created jobs, Erwin.
No. I think exactly. The government's created over 2 million jobs, so I don't think we can go down that road. The point I'm making is that anything that helps people fill in an application form, do well in the job interview, is to be welcomed. My big concern is where we're actually going to find the people who are capable of imparting this wisdom that was not imparted whenever they were at school. You know, this is not an easy thing. Communication is probably one of the most important skills that people have in life today. And it doesn't matter what job you're in. Stephen, you're an excellent communicator. You have come up through and you go on the radio. Other people, if you ask them to stand up and speak for a minute about themselves, would stop after about 20 seconds or maybe never even start. People need to be able to communicate so that they can actually get into jobs and impress people. And it doesn't matter what job you're doing, you have to do an interview.
Look at the situation in Northern Ireland. We're worse than the rest of the UK in terms of our average. Northern Ireland's youth unemployment rate for 18 to 24-year-olds is 19.5%, Bumper. The UK average is 14%. Yeah. So once again, we're worse here in Northern Ireland than
your
elsewhere.
Your programme and others last week were concentrating on the A-level results and saying how great they were. Well, yes, they were good for that percentage of people that did them. And that's been the problem with Northern Ireland education and training system for decades. We concentrate on the top 20-30% and ignore the rest of the young people. And, you know, the education system is not designed to provide workers. It's designed to provide academics. And we need to change fundamentally the structure of our system and ingrain vocational training as being as important as academic qualifications, and allow young people from the age of 14 to develop traditional skills. We still need the plumbers, we still need the mechanics, we still need the electricians. Yeah. We also need, obviously, to train people in the new industries. But what has happened by successive governments is that they've run down the vocational side. Where are the government training centres that there used to be? Now the question is, where are the people working in the Department of Employment and Learning to actually assist young people in finding training and jobs? So this is all part of a wider picture of the government cutting, and now seeking to vilify our young people.
Here's David in Belfast, first call of the day. Morning, David.
Morning, Stephen. This is a great plan from the Tories. It's about time people take responsibility for their own lives for once, instead of having the taxman look after them. Also, it's a lifestyle choice. You either choose to live off benefits or you go out and put effort in and get a job. Some people think that you can get everything handed to you, but if that's the case, then everybody would be handed jobs. So it's choices. People.
So you support this?
Yes, I do support it, because it's time to put people that are able to work mentally and physically. They're able to work.
Are you all right there?
Yep. I suffer from depression, right? I have problems, right? But people like myself and others are getting penalised because they're getting everything handed to them. We don't get help anymore. Vulnerable people like myself don't get help anymore, while people on benefits get everything handed to them.
That's just nonsense.
It's true. I see it for myself. Whenever I go to places, I get turned away.
Who turns you away? What do you mean?
Like, whenever I try and get budget loans, I don't get them. Whenever I try and get crisis loans, I don't get them. I get turned away. So, but while somebody that is young and old, that is choosing to not put effort in, they get everything.
Why are you getting emotional this morning?
Because I feel emotional because I feel like myself, like people like myself, are going to get damaged even more.
Well, if you deem yourself to be vulnerable, David, if you are vulnerable,
yeah,
then surely you shouldn't be hitting out at young people who would see themselves as vulnerable. You know, they're starting off in life. They need a job. They're worried about their future.
I understand that, but there's ones there that are mentally and physically able to work, but they choose to live off benefits. Why?
I don't think very many people, Stephen, choose to live off benefits. And what is clear is that our welfare system is not supporting people like your caller, and it isn't fair for him then to go and say, because he's not getting the support he should, that nobody else should get it either.
Do you know what I often wonder, Erwin Armstrong? I often wonder why young people are targeted. Like, for example, if we've had university fees, right? So we understand that. Restrictions on young people's benefits, a minimum wage which is lower for young people than anybody else. Why on earth should young people be targeted in this way? Look at pensioners. What do pensioners get? They get their free bus passes. They get their winter fuel allowance protected, TV licence free for over 75-year-olds. Why on earth are young people targeted in this way and not older people as well, for example?
Well, I think there's a very simple answer to that, Stephen, and that is that young people, by and large, are fit and able to do something. And they're starting out their lives. And it's how you start your life as time goes on is how it will actually finish. Because we have many families within Northern Ireland, in fact, all of the United Kingdom, who are into their third generation of unemployment. I mean, you get into this horrible cycle of your grandparents didn't work, your parents didn't work, you don't work, then you don't have a chance in life. And if someone can get involved and actually stop that continuing and show the value of getting an education. And by education, I'm not saying A-levels or anything. I'm saying an education that at least prepares you for any form of work, and that's reading, writing, and as I said earlier, communication. That is a good thing.
OK, here's Frank and Oma. Morning, Frank.
Yeah, why don't they create proper jobs for young people and so on instead of giving them menial jobs like cutting grass and picking up litter? What about all the young people that go to Australia and so on to find work? Are they scroungers? And there's a gentleman on there saying that people, young people choose to live on benefit. I wonder how many does he know who chooses to live on benefit? I would say there's nobody chooses to live on benefit.
Well, obviously, Frank, there are some people who think to themselves they couldn't be bothered working. You know that.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, but they're probably coming from such dysfunctional backgrounds that they wouldn't be able to hold down a job.
Yeah, but I don't think because you come from a dysfunctional background means that you have to be dysfunctional. You know, all you need to do is to take people who come from those sort of backgrounds and give them some targets and goals in life and some boundaries to work within. If you don't do that, you're quite correct. They will perpetuate the dysfunctional life. But somebody needs, at some stage, to try and break this vicious circle.
See,
yes, but what you don't do, Erwin, is have these Americanizations of boot camps.
Boot camp. I think that's a horrible term.
And training for the sake of training. I mean, there has to be a product at the end. That product has to be a job.
You see, Frank, this Tory minister, Matthew Hancock, he talks about an embedded welfare culture. The language in itself is loaded, isn't it? The suggestion that there is something embedded in people in a community that they don't want to work, that they want to rely on welfare, Frank.
It's very easy to throw out that statement and so on and try and put people down as if they want to live and benefit all their life. I'm sure if people had decent jobs to go to, they would not be living on benefit. And there are a lot of
the only thing that is embedded is the hate that is in the Tories for ordinary working people.
Here's Sean next morning, Sean.
You're chatting about putting these people out to cut grass and boot camps and all that there. They cannot go on site or use equipment unless they're trained. They have to have hard hats. They have to have special footwear. They have to have special clothes. Who's going to pay for all that?
Well, they're not putting them out.
You have to go on a course now to learn how to cut grass. If you're operating equipment.
And David. Morning, David.
Morning, Steve. Morning.
Good morning.
Hello. I'm just phoning up. I want to say that the gentleman said that people want to live on benefits is absolute load of rubbish, because I know there's loads of young fellas play for our local football team. They're coming up to everybody day and daily. Do you know any jobs going? Do you know any jobs going? And then they're taking jobs at agencies and being told, right, you're in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but you may not be in next week or the week after, but then you're in. I think a government should offer everybody that's on the dole a 40-hour week job at the minimum wage, and then it'll incentivise them.
Well, who would pay for that, David?
Well, the government's paying to keep them on benefits, paying housing benefit, paying this, giving out loans. Guarantee them a 40-hour week, and then they'll be contributing to society by paying stuff in the shops, paying their tax, whatever.
And so you see it on the ground, do you? Young people desperate for work.
Yes, I still play for a football team, and there's at least 8-9 young lads between the age of 16 and 24, 25, daily coming up and saying, is there any jobs going? Do you know anybody with any work? Blah, blah, blah.
Like 1 in 5. Our rate, 1 in 5 18-year-olds in Northern Ireland, unemployed, compared to 14% across the water.
I know, but it's not because... Yes, there is some that don't want to work.
24-year-olds, yes.
So if they were offered jobs, jobs come down, working with the council, doing anything, 40 hours a week, if they turn them down, then you'll know that they're not wanting to work. Then, obviously, cut their benefits, but don't cut people's benefits that are genuinely wanting a full-time job.
Sammy Wilson is here to talk to us about another subject. Sammy, let me just bring you into this as we conclude it. Why is our unemployment rate worse here than the UK average?
Well, I mean, first of all, there are economic factors there. We're away from the main centres of economic activity. We're in the periphery of the economy. We have had the kind of long-term structural problems that we've experienced, but it has improved considerably. And if you can, you know, if you look at the performance over the period of the recession, where we were normally the very bottom of the unemployment league, we have stayed just above the average. We perform better than the northeast of England, the northwest of England, the southwest of England, and that has been attributed, I think, to some of the actions that have been taken by the executive. But nevertheless, we're always going to find that we struggle compared to the likes of the southeast of England and the Midlands because of geographical factors, historical factors.
And what do you make of this? What do you make of this latest Tory policy? Force young people into a so-called boot camp if they don't have a job to learn how to get one?
Well, it was also my view it's better to have people in work and prepared for work rather than simply say to them, no work, right, we'll pay you benefits. I mean, I always think that if you get people disengaged from the labour market for any length of time, it's much harder to get them back in. And for that reason, I do think that getting people used to the world of work, used to getting up, the discipline of getting up in the morning, going to work, staying there for a certain length of time, getting the skills which are required for work is a good thing. I'll tell you, Steve, one of the first things I was...
Tommy, why then did you support the Stormont House Agreement? It's getting rid of thousands upon thousands of public service jobs and resulting in recruitment freezes across the public service so that young people now can't get into work in our public services.
Well, for the simple reason that, first of all, public services aren't the only place, the only kind of area in which people can work.
I agree, but they're very important.
There's a social economy sector.
There's a benefit to the economy of jobs in the public service.
And also, we did have budgetary pressures where we had to ensure that we could live within the budget that was available to us. So, you know, this idea that only the public sector is capable of employing that should be the main source of employment.
Sammy, can I just ask now, hold on. Sammy, now that Bumper's just mentioned it, because I might have missed it, can I just ask where those public sector redundancies are? Now that the agreement's all up in the air, are they still happening?
Well, they're not, because some of them...
you're wrong, Sammy. They are.
Hold on, could he finish a sentence, Bumper?
In the housing executive...
I need to let him finish a sentence.
The bulk of them, I mean, there were all, even before the Stormont House Agreement, there were redundancies planned within the public sector, and that has been ongoing for some time. But the bulk of the redundancies or the changeover will not be capable of being financed until we can borrow the money to pay for them.
So people have put
there are a considerable number of people who are still waiting for the redundancy package to come through because of the failure to implement this.
Is that how you see it, Bumper?
Your story about young people, is it not an absolute nonsense to be cutting jobs in further education colleges who are supposed to provide the training for those young people that don't make it to university? So on the one hand, the Tories are saying to us, we're going to vilify and attack young people and put them into boot camps. At the same time, they've closed government training centres and they're now reducing places in colleges.
Pumper, you know full well that's not true. And in fact, I was just speaking to Stephen Farry. I was speaking to Stephen Farry the other day. I had some people from the transport industry up talking to him about apprenticeships. The government is planning, and we will get our share in the Barnett Consequentials, for 3 million apprenticeships right across a whole range of industries, and that will prepare young people for the world of
and
work.
They will be delivered
in further education colleges. They will be further delivered by employers, employers themselves. And I'm sure you would welcome this in the budget. Employers will be required now to put in money into a fund to finance apprenticeships, so that if they need those skills in the future, they're making a contribution to those skills being being provided.
All right.
I mean, there's lots of initiatives which are going on.
Too little, too late, which don't involve
the public sector. And, you know, this kind of harping on all the time that only the public sector can do this, I think it really ignores a lot of the opportunities.
That's not what I'm saying. So
okay. Well, we're not saying any more because we're moving on. Bumper, thank you very much indeed. Erwin Armstrong, thank you very much.